Good morning, everyone. I'm standing in for our pastor, Jason Hagen, this morning, and let's keep him in our prayers for recovery. Testing, we good? Yeah, okay. If you're new here this morning, my name is Benjamin Reed, and I have the joy of serving on the elders' board here at our church at Fellowship Baptist, and it's a joy to be with you this morning. They say that you need to be ready to preach, pray, or die at a moment's notice, so here we go. Hopefully, it's just going to be preaching. Anyway, by now, many of you know that you won't be surprised to keep hearing stories from our service in Central Asia and the former Soviet Union. I've had the joy of being in Christian ministry for 27 years this coming summer, and we served overseas from 1991 to 2001. We were involved in learning languages, Russian and the local language. We learned how to get acquainted with our neighbors and began to tell a few about Jesus. We lived and rubbed shoulders with them and sought to love our friends with the incredible love of Jesus Christ. We realized that this vision to see the message of Christ brought to the Muslim world is a long process, but one that continues to bear fruit. And as our journey with Christ, we learned that there were 50 million Muslims behind the Iron Curtain in the former Soviet Union. Currently, that was season one of my life. Currently, in this season, I'm in pastoral care work among missionaries through a retreat ministry called Urban Sanctuary here in Edmonton. And I seek to love and bless God's servants in their call to go to the world. And I want to say thank you for you and this, our home church, for your faithful prayer and your encouragement. I left for overseas in my 20s. And wanting to change the world and to love people for Jesus' sake. And I didn't fully understand that God wanted to keep transforming me and change me from the inside out in the process. And this is the focus of my heart in sharing with you this morning from Colossians chapter 3. I had and I still have an incredible desire to see all people from all language groups and cultures come and encounter the love of God and to be transformed in the process. And so it's an honor to be sharing the same day that we're blessing Gary and Vicky going to the nations. And this weekend is Missions Fest, and I hope some of you have had a chance to get to the Missions Fest conference here in West Edmonton. I was there on Saturday, and I'm going to be there tonight at Sing to the Nations, the evening service. I hope some of you come. God in His mercy allowed me to run headlong into my own flesh, my human sin and my own human heart, and has continued to show me that how much I need Jesus Christ. All followers of Christ need to continue in the ministry of being transformed. Amen? And as we've had Duncan share, Colossians chapter 3 is an important part of my growth and my journey of learning. Colossae is a city in the current day Turkey. It's not a city anymore. It hasn't been excavated. It's now under the dustbin of history. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 7, earlier in the book, the church there was most likely planted by Epaphras, who came to that city. And Epaphras, as you look and read in the New Testament, was a disciple of Christ who Paul discipled. And Colossians is a very practical book. And Paul is writing as a spiritual grandfather, helping encourage newer believers in the Lord. And that's what we want. We want to disciple people who will in turn go out and disciple others. Amen? That's the passage. That's what we want to do in the body of Christ. Colossians 3 concretely outlines three foundational disciplines of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And these disciplines, by God's grace, will help us to deal with our sinful flesh in a godly way. We're going to reflect on these three disciplines, work our way through the passage, and draw application as we go. Let's pray, and let's remember Pastor Jason this morning as we pray. Father, we thank you for our pastor. And as he's been ill these last few days, we ask in Jesus' name, as the Church of Jesus Christ who meets here at Fellowship Baptist Church, we want to pray for our pastor. Would you give him strength, the ability to rest, recovery, and peace in his heart, mind, and body. Lord, I thank you for him. Thank you for his family. And Lord, we just want to stand in support of him, Lord, and his ministry among us, and we're grateful for our pastor. Lord, as we now reflect on Colossians 3, I pray that you would guide me, and may your Spirit be our teacher. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, what are spiritual disciplines? I would submit to you this morning that a spiritual discipline is a practice of deliberately making space in our lives where we slow down, we stop, and we desire to meet with our God, the God of heaven and earth. Sometimes we encounter God when we stop, sometimes we don't. But I believe we always profit from the slowing down and showing up. So, one of my favorite authors is Dallas Willard. In his book, The Great Omission, it says, and I quote, "You or others must be the judges of how far my transformed character goes. I can tell you that the transformation of character comes through learning how to act in concert with Jesus Christ. Character is formed through action, and it is transformed through action, including carefully planned and grace-sustained disciplines. To enter the path of obedience to Jesus Christ, intending to obey him and intending to learn whatever I have to learn in order to obey him is the true path of spiritual formation or transformation." Unquote. So the first discipline in the text, let's go to the text, is in verse 1. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And then it goes on in verse 2, the same discipline. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. The older I get, I've been learning that it is very easy to lose heart, and to set our heart on things above is very important. We always look at the externals, and it has a huge impact upon us. One of the joys in my ministry that I do currently is that I get to have private appointments with people, and I hear their stories of how God is meeting them. And this always lifts my heart, as God is so creative in how he meets us. And I just came back from Ontario this last weekend doing this ministry with a mission group in the Greater Toronto Area. Workers are trying to live and thrive in some very difficult places. Overseas, it's learning how to thrive when you don't have things that make you happy. The electricity goes off on rolling blackouts if you get it at all. And you have 200 days per year of sandstorms in areas that are close to the Sahara Desert. Or in Canada, in the inner city, which I've just come back from, bed bugs that invade your house. When your neighbors get bed bugs, you get bed bugs. Maybe you've experienced that. You start to recognize that setting your mind on things above is a discipline of a disciple of Christ. I started to learn the importance of discipline of worship in any circumstance that helped me to keep my mind on things above. The discipline of prayer. Ministry of intercession helped me to take injustice that I saw overseas, take it to God in prayer and leave it there. And then the discipline of God, staying in God's word and letting the truth of the scriptures wash over you. So what does exactly on things above mean? Set your mind on things above. Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, I think is important. Our fellowship home group is working our way through the Philippians, and it's a wonderful book. If you have your Bible, Philippians 4, verse 8, teaches us exactly what on things above really means. Philippians 4, 8, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, or if it is anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Dwell on or think about these things. Memorizing this verse has meant the world to me because it has given comfort that I can screen and determine what is filling my mind through this lens. So what does this look like? Well, if my mind is dwelling on things that are not true, not honorable, not right, not pure, not lovely, of evil reputation, not excellent or not praiseworthy, I can know immediately that this does not come from God. I then can turn to the cross and surrender my thoughts to Christ. Amen. It's very hard to do this when you have a health challenge, or if you lose your job, you're in a conflict, or if you've been blindsided over something that you did not expect to happen in your life. It's hard to keep your mind on things above. The author, Dallas Willard, again, in his book, The Great Omission, says, and I quote, "Without discipline, nothing of any value can be accomplished. Why have discipline? It is that there is no sense of fulfillment, dignity, and quality of life that we can have without discipline." I would put it in my own words that we are saved by God by faith, but following Christ takes discipline and effort. Unquote. I talk in my ministry on Skype with a worker in Africa. She faces 45 degrees Celsius weather, unreliable electricity, dust storms, and when there are several coup attempts in the country and the government has fallen, women are not treated very well. She has a lot to lose heart about. One thing I admire about her is that she has a thankful journal, and this might be something that you want to do. On especially hard days, she keeps her mind on things above by writing down daily what she is truly thankful about. And then when there are days she doesn't have anything to write about, she reads back what she was thankful about days previous. Her list has gotten quite long. Last I heard, it was 3,000 and growing of what things she's thankful for. Last year, I read a letter from her when she was flying back to her city of service. The plane was almost landing when it abruptly had to take off again, and the captain said they had to go to a different country due to a terrorist incident in the city that was going on. She went on to learn that she had lost friends and acquaintances in this horrible act. There's an elderly doctor still to this day who is taken captive and nobody knows his condition. It's very easy to lose heart when we see this news. Pray for this situation all over Africa. Losing heart overseas is not hard, especially if all you hear is bad news. But I'm here this morning to remind you that God is at work in the Muslim world as well. When my family started in our country of service, we heard that there was approximately 5 Muslim background believers. That was in 1991. Currently, conservative estimates are putting the numbers at 12,000 Muslim background believers who are following Christ now. And that's conservative as I could find. And when I heard that the National Church in our adopted land formed a national mission group to send out their own workers from their country, I was thrilled that God had given me the chance of witnessing this in our adopted country to become a sending country to the nations. Sadly, this young mission initiative didn't last and is no longer in existence. I really was saddened when I heard the news. I just recently heard the news of another ministry that I admire greatly is closing down their official status at the end of the year. And you know, as you get older, you start to realize there's a lot of news that we can lose heart about. But the discipline of keeping our heart on things above happens and encourages us when we, for example, when we have baptism and we hear a testimony of how God has worked in the life of a person. That lifts my heart to things above. I have a few heroes of the faith in my life who have shown me that what it means to keep my heart on things above. One of my aunts, in her 80s, she died last year. She suffered from multiple sclerosis for 40 plus years. She was totally dependent upon others. She and my uncle served Christ when my uncle was a pastor for most of his adult life, and they lived with her illness. My family members have struggled in keeping their minds on things above. And when I was there with them, I saw faces that shine with Jesus' love and dependence. For my aunt and uncle and cousins, keeping their mind on things above is discipline and finding the joy in the midst of their pain. And January 15th, 2016, we got the word that she passed away peacefully and is now free from suffering. She's one of my faith heroes. It's hard to keep your mind on things above. Another aunt is now with the Lord, also suffered for many years. She longed for Christ and hung on to Jesus sometimes by her fingernails. My mother was used often in her life to help keep her mind on things above. So, life can be very difficult. And sometimes I know I will need you, church, to help me keep my mind on things above. And I will probably lose strength. In turn, I want you to know that I'm prepared to do the same for you. I know you will lose strength. You will lose heart. You will lose courage. And that's why we need God's body. Do you have somebody in your life that you can help, that can help you keep your mind on things above? I thank God for my family. I thank God for my friends and for the men that God has given me over the years who have been there for me when I have lost strength and perspective. The second discipline in the passage: put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And then in 3:5 it says it again: you now must rid yourself. And then what supports that: for you have died and your life is wrapped in Christ in God. Work in the Muslim world really was an education in my heart that God wanted to clean me up on the inside, putting my old nature to death. My immature attitudes and actions, my sinful coping mechanisms, my pride and my arrogance and my ego. My first team, when we really bonded with one another, when we formed and bonded in 1991, just after the fall of the Soviet Union, we were learning and failing and crying on each other's shoulders and supporting one another and bonding with each other. We had developed a really close friendship with our team leader and his wife. And at one point I noticed that they were not calling us as much. They didn't seem interested in us anymore. And I judged them very unkindly and harshly in my spirit. And I didn't initiate with them, and I drew back from them. They eventually called us and asked us what was going on, because they noticed something was amiss. I had given in to my fleshly pull towards self-pity and believed, poor me, they don't like me anymore, and therefore I'm not going to like them. Maybe you've had that struggle. The truth was, they simply had a very busy season of life and they were swamped with what was going on in their lives. I confessed my sin to my team leader and they forgave me, but it stung as it sunk in that I have a tendency towards feeling sorry for myself. This began my getting to know my flesh in a more intimate way as I served God in Central Asia. I learned an important peacemaking lesson as well. I need to go to my brother and find out for real what's going on, not assume the worst, even though I'm tempted to believe the worst. Putting self-pity to death has been engaging my will to actively nail it to the cross of Jesus Christ. This battle continues. I've grown, but I'm still learning, and I'm still learning. And this morning, my brothers and sisters, do you want to pray a courageous prayer? You need a lot of strength to pray this. Take some time to be alone with God and ask Him in prayer, Jesus, what do I need to put to death in my life? We'd say it again. Jesus, what do I need to do? What do I need to put it to death in my life? Then listen and write down whatever God brings to your mind. Following on this theme is Colossians 3:3, for you died and your life is wrapped in Christ in God. This verse challenges me that anything that I have that might be an idol in my life, what is an idol? It's anything that I look to for satisfaction that takes the place of God. For me, there's been a few. Here are some of the consequences of embracing the crucified life. It has meant saying yes to Jesus and come back to Canada even when I didn't want to. Vicky can testify about that. I had to lay down living overseas. We don't simply give conditions to God. It has meant saying my love for Jesus doesn't depend upon my being healed. I have diabetes. Or my members of my family being healed. I've just spent a week with my brother dealing with cancer. My love for Jesus doesn't depend on my brother getting healed. My identity is not based on my organization, but in Christ. My worth as a man is not based upon what I do or accomplish. These are still important, but who I am in Christ. My joy in life is not dependent whether I get what I want. Have you ever had a setback and seen it throw you for a loop and throw you right on your backside? I have. The old Ben has died, and his life is wrapped in Christ in God. Don Francisco, one of my favorite Christian artists, has a song about the devil knocking on the door with a package addressed to him full of sin and misery and old ways. And he talks in the song about us telling the devil that take all that stuff in the box and take it to Jesus. It doesn't belong to me anymore. Amen? I hope that encourages you. And in verse 8 says, you must rid yourself of all such things as this anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. And my next door neighbor overseas where we lived, living with him and reaching out to him tested me greatly. He did something at one point in my life as a neighbor that I got really angry with him. And I stormed over to his house and I blew up at him at the gate and I abused him verbally. I don't know if you've ever tried to be angry in a foreign language. I think back now that it was rather comical as I think about that, but it was embarrassing. I went home really down and discouraged because I had been doing a Bible study with he and his wife, and I had thought I had killed the outreach with my sinful outburst of anger. My wife, Marlene, greeted me, and she reminded me that I was going to have to apologize to him for losing control. I'm so grateful this morning for Marlene, my wife, and how she has modeled unconditional love and support and has spoken the truth and love when I needed to hear it. She's an amazing gift to me. I went back and I apologized, and our Bible study continued, and I led he and his wife into the kingdom about a month after that event. They continue to follow Christ as their treasure and have had ups and downs of life just like you have, but I'm aware that I need to keep putting off the old nature. We had the joy of seeing them again just two summers ago when I went back with the girls and Marlene, and we had a good time of fellowship, and it's wonderful to see them going on with Christ. How do we put to death an old pattern? It's by being sensitive to the Spirit of God, who will give our minds and hearts discernment and will give clarity to what is the root of the sinful pattern. We can't gloss over a sinful pattern, but we must confess it openly and say to God, I can't triumph over it on my own. I need your help to forgive me. And then I need your help to stay disciplined going forward. Secondly, after doing business with God, we usually need help of our family, our friends, and journeying with others towards health and freedom. Sharing the story of our lives and truth with others is sometimes hard, but important for us to learn to trust. Sometimes counseling is needed to help us on our journey towards health. Being truly known by others in the community is important to our resiliency and learning to grow and change. Thirdly, put on our new self, who is being renewed in the true knowledge. 3 verse 10. That's another discipline. Put on the new self. Dallas Willard again in his book writes, in a Christ-centered piety, we will have to recapture the greatness of the whole Christ as the object of our faith. We must place our confidence in what Paul called the boundless riches of Christ. Unquote. Verse 12 says, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. As I served in the Muslim world, I continue to put on new habits of keeping short accounts, taking my thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, exerting my authority in Christ as a son of the living God. I learned that I want to be an ambassador for Christ first and foremost, and I learned that I don't need to defend the foreign policy of the United States or Canada. That's a dangerous place if you want to go there. We want to go to the Muslim world as humble servants and students who want to learn from our neighbors and friends. Living on a team with a small group of expats is a great place to learn new patterns of community, of team life, to practice peacemaking, and to be sharpened by the fires of community living. We learn we can't run, we can't hide from others. So, putting on the new self. God taught me a powerful lesson about this as I was learning Russian language. At one point, I lost heart very badly. I was hitting a brick wall emotionally, and I was feeling that I was a mistake coming. I couldn't get the grammar and I was spinning my wheels. I had a lot of discouragement, frustration, anger, even tears at times, and I was not very fun to live with, I'm sad to say. During a prayer meet time at one point, God brought back to me a memory that I had when I was in junior high school, sitting in a class and was doing English grammar on the board and separating sentences. Maybe you remember doing this. Identifying the different parts of speech. I remember sitting at my desk and being in misery and speaking to myself, I will never be able to do grammar. I realized that I had been cursing myself all these years in my spirit without even realizing it. Jesus spoke quietly to my heart that day that he wanted to heal that memory because it was a lie and something that I was bound up by. I started to speak the truth into my life after this experience and say, I can learn Russian grammar through Christ who gives me strength. I went into a complete change of mind and heart, and I had to change my study habits and learn different ways of learning, and I went on to learn Russian as well as the local language. Dallas Willard again comments in his book, the aim of discipline in the spiritual life and specifically in the following of Christ is the transformation of the total state of the soul. It's a renewal of the whole person from the inside, involving differences in thought, feeling, and character. Spiritual formation is commonly referred to as a matter of reforming the broken soul of a man in a recovery from its alienation from God. Really, it is soul reformation, unquote. I went back to the country in the summer of 2003 with an intern to our adopted country and preached in a house church in one of the villages. These believers are surrounded by Muslims and have had to learn to stand up under persecution and horrible situations. We talked about forgiveness and learning to forgive and let go. I was really humbled to sit and listen to these dear people count the cost about forgiving those who have done great harm to them. We celebrated the Lord's Supper together and remembered his death and resurrection for us and the sufferings that he took. And I was thrilled to be with my brothers and sisters in the suffering church. Sutkinbai Usmanov was a widower who would stop by, come into town on a donkey cart. He had a winning smile and a wonderful disposition. He had come to Christ as an older man, and he had a few enigmatic habits that wasn't always great, but we had a great time together, and I treasure the memory that I have with this brother in the Lord. It was a few years after we left to come back to Canada, he was killed. He didn't deserve to be killed. Sotkinbai had found Jesus as the treasure of his life. He never gave up Jesus. He took off his old sin-filled life and he put on the new self in Christ, and it cost him his life. And I'm honored by his memory this morning. Ministry in the Muslim world has taught me that I must maintain, by God's grace, a long-term perspective. It takes time to develop cross-cultural relationships and to reach out to show that Jesus Christ is our treasure and that he has impacted us in so many countless ways in our lives. What does laying off the old and putting on the new self look like for you in 2017 in Edmonton? Verse 12, let's dream God's dreams for our church and our ministry for compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with each other, forgiving whatever grievances we may have, put on love. Let's dream God's dreams for our church. Let's continue to pray for our church as we continue to follow him in the calling that he's given us. So in closing this morning, let's pray that we will keep our mind on things above and not lose heart. Some of us here may have lost heart and don't feel that you have anything to give. I pray for you today that you will press into Christ and keep your heart on things above. We need one another to help us to keep our mind on things above. Secondly, that we will all continue to put to death the deeds of the flesh. I pray that in our community of faith, that you will have much patience and grace as you see new believers come into the fellowship who are limping emotionally and have come from rough backgrounds, and have some habits that will take time for them to lay down. Let's be gracious to one another. Amen? We are not to be legalists, but to love one another as they learn that Jesus is their treasure. I hope that you have freedom to confess our sin, your sin, to one another. There's nothing more humbling than to go to a brother and sister in the church that I have sinned again and confessed my sin to them and say, "Will you forgive me?" When you ask that, you can't guarantee the results, what will happen. It's very humbling. Deeds and thoughts of our sinful flesh continue to trip us up. Let's do business with them with God's help. A fellowship mission group is a great place for you to find that kind of community here at Fellowship Baptist Church. God wants you to be known, to be loved, to be accepted, and to be honest, and to not hide. Finally, that we will put on our new identity in Christ. I pray that you will celebrate the love of Christ in your growth and your discipleship. May He continue to heal your memories and pain from your past background and fill you with renewed hope for the future of your following Christ. May you experience the riches of Christ as your treasure. Oswald Chambers used to say, "Passion for Christ above all else."